The first lesson today is from Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. Little context. In this passage, God is having a conversation with people of Israel through Micah. Scholars believe that this was sort of put in a context of likening a conversation in a court pleading, something along that line. So the structure is such. Initially, God first speaks to the people, asking what he has done that vexed them. Then he proceeds to note all those good things that he has done for them. And then the conversation ends with God, through Micah, telling the people what he requires of them. Listen for the word of God. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilal, that you may know the savings acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to start a new sermon series going through the Sermon on the Mount. The lectionary has parts of the Sermon on the Mount over the next few weeks. I'm going to expand on that because actually, you could preach on the Sermon on the Mount for the rest of this year and not touch all that could be said about it. But this is a sermon that Jesus gave. It is found in Matthew, three chapters. It's three chapters long, chapters 5, 6, and 7. I would encourage you to read it. Maybe read it each week before you come to church, or maybe read it each day. It'll take you about 10 minutes or so to read it. But it's these words of Jesus that are so revolutionary. So today is and I also want to just add, this is a good reason, the sermon series is also a good reason why you want to come and participate in Kim's book study on the cost of discipleship. This book touches on or spends a good bit of time talking about the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teaching there. So, today we're reading the Beatitudes, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. In the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. I think all of us would like to be blessed, like to be happy. But how do we obtain that blessing? What do we consider to be, what has to go on that we considered ourselves blessed? I suspect for most of us, we would consider ourselves blessed if we have a good family, good friends, you know, good relationships, but also that we live in a comfortable home, a safe place, that we have enough money to take care of our basic needs, perhaps a little more so we can do a few fun things. We want safety, we want good health. These things we consider blessed. But when you look at the Beatitudes here in this sermon that Jesus proclaims, those aren't the ones that are blessed. I don't think we consider anyone blessed when they have the word poor associated with it. We just have negative connotations about being poor. We don't consider ourselves blessed when we are grieving, when we mourn. No one likes to suffer in that way. And you go right down the list and you get to the bottom. I know none of us would consider it a blessing to be persecuted. But these are the ones that Jesus considers blessed. These were radical words when he proclaimed them back 2,000 years ago, and they're still radical words that confront us today. So what do we do with these words of or these ways of being blessed? Let me suggest that as we look at each one of these, the person is not blessed in the future. The person is blessed then and there for having these characteristics, these values. There's a reward that they receive that may be in the future, but they are blessed in the present. So we're going to look at all nine of them just briefly and maybe say a few words about each one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We know what it's like to be poor economically, whether we've ever experienced it or not. We know that the poor, economically poor, are the ones that don't have enough money or resources to take care of their basic needs. When we talk about the spiritually poor, we're talking about people that recognize their need for God. They're humble about that. They know they can't do it on their own. This is very opposite of those who are self-righteous, those who are arrogant, those who are boastful. These are folks that say, I need God. I need God's grace because I am poor in spirit. And their reward is that they, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They belong to the work that God's doing. God's kingdom that we see bits and pieces of here today, but we know in the future will come in all its totality. And it belongs to those who are poor in spirit. We'll see that again when we get down to the very bottom of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I don't know of anyone who enjoys grief, who enjoys that mourning period when you've lost something that's very meaningful to you, whether it be a person or a dream or whatever. We don't like to grieve. We don't like to suffer. But as Christians, we believe there can be redeeming value in our grief and in our suffering. That there can be a reorganizing of our priorities, how we are to live. Our mourning can be about what we see going on in the world, the brokenness of people, our own brokenness. We can mourn the evil that we see in the world. These things grieve us, the injustice, and we want to see changes. And Jesus says, those who mourn will be comforted. And as we're comforted, we can go and we can comfort others. I think of grief support groups. They're wonderful groups because people who've experienced grief and suffering are there to help those who are experiencing it now, and they come together and they support one another and they work through their grief together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We don't tend to look at the meek as something we hold up high in esteem. We tend to think of the meek as some people who are timid, who don't stand up for themselves, who are easily pushed around or bullied. But I don't think that's what Jesus means. The meek are the humble, the pious, in the best senses of that word. The meek are the ones who seek after God. They're the ones who seek after God's grace because they know in their own being that they are not righteous in their own efforts. And somehow the meek are the ones that hit the jackpot. The land will be theirs. The earth is theirs. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The ones that were listening to Jesus' sermon, they would have made the association between that and the promise and the covenant that God made with Abraham back so many, many years before, where God said, I will give you this land, and I will make of you a great nation, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through you. And the ones that are inheriting the earth are the ones that are participating in this covenant. We are part of that great nation that God has built up through Abraham, where the whole world will be blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus uses this physical need that we all have and teaches us spiritual realities from it. We all know what it means to hunger and thirst. We all know what it means to eat a good meal and be satisfied. And Jesus says, you know, in the same way, we need to hunger and thirst for the things of God, that righteousness. We need to recognize that we never fully arrive. You become a Christian and you don't just sit back and say, okay, everything's good, I got a ticket to heaven, don't need to worry about anything. But we're always to be growing and allowing God to shape and to mold us into the people God wants us to be. We hunger and thirst after that. And it says that we will be filled. We'll be filled today, but we'll be hungry and thirsty again tomorrow. And this is an ongoing process. So we never give up. We never sit back and just rest and say, I've arrived. But we keep pursuing that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. You can't have the mercy and being merciful are very much tied and connected to forgiveness and being forgiven. The merciful are the ones that recognize that we can't go around judging people and condemning people. But because God has been merciful to us, we need to be merciful to others. To seek their forgiveness, that they might experience God's grace. As we have been forgiven, so are we to forgive. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Kind of implies if we are not merciful, perhaps we're not going to be receiving mercy either. Jesus will go on to say in the sermon that the standard we use to judge others is the standard that's going to be used to judge us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who do things from sincere motives. In the Hebrew, the word heart would kind of represent three internal things going on in your life. It would be your feelings, it would be your mind, and it would be your will. And to be pure in heart is when all three of these are working together for the same purpose, that has sincere motives. It's doing the right thing for the right reason. It's doing the right thing when nobody's looking. And when we do this, it tells us we will see God. And as I've been thinking about this, how do we see God? God's invisible. But we're also told by Jesus in a later parable and later in the Gospel of Matthew that we see Jesus in the poor, in the naked, in the prisoner, in the least, the lost, the forgotten. That's where Jesus can be found. And it says we will see God when we're pure in heart. I think maybe that's where we see God. In other people, because we're operating out of that purity that God is himself pure. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. The Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. And it means far more than just the absence of war or the absence of conflict. It speaks of the total well-being of a person or of a relationship. Relationships between family, relationships between friends, relationships within a church, within a community, relationships of nations with other nations. Seeking the well-being of all these things. And it means also that we seek justice, because there is no peace without justice. And we can look at the Micah reading that we read. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? You can see all three of those things in these Beatitudes. Now we get to the part we don't really like. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, Jesus, we've been with you. We kind of like the other ones. We don't really like this one. We don't want to be persecuted. We want to be liked. We want others to like us. And this is the one that Jesus even goes further, because he adds another one that is very much like this one, except it makes it very personal. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, falsely against you, for my sake. But then he adds to it, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven's great. For it was in the same way that they treated the prophets, they persecuted the prophets of old. We don't like the idea of persecution, but you know what? In the world today, Christians are being persecuted. Christians are being put to death. There have been more martyrs, Christian martyrs, in the 20th century than in the first three, four, five centuries of the church, the early church, combined. There are places where people suffer because they are Christians. It doesn't happen here. Not really. And I wonder why. If Jesus says this is one of the ways that we're blessed. And we like to say that our church, our country was founded on Christian principles, and I like to believe that. But I wonder how much we've moved away from that. Whereas the ones we considered blessed are the ones we talked about earlier, the ones who are comfortable, who feel safe, who have enough money and enough resources to satisfy their needs, comfort and safety and happiness. And do those go against being poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers? Does it go against all those so that we're missing out? I wonder what would happen to the church if we were persecuted here. How many of you would stay? How many would leave? Say, no, sorry, checking out. We probably will never know that, because I doubt we'll ever go through that type of persecution. But what I see from these Beatitudes, what I draw from, because they're all kind of interconnected, they all tell us that we need God's grace, that we can't do it on our own. They all tell us that we have to be active. We comfort those who grieve. We seek the hunger and thirst for that righteousness. We are merciful. We do the right things for the right reasons. We are peacemakers. All these speak of who we are as Christians. So, as we talk about who's blessed, are you blessed? I wonder if I am. Hope you'll think about it. Amen.